About 1,900 years ago, there was no internet, but there was an astronomer named Ptolemy who lived in Alexandria, Egypt, and he is most famously known for some astronomical models that he had created that explained the motion and placement of heavenly bodies, the moon, planets, stars, the sun. And what is most notable about Ptolemy's model is that the Earth was at the center. Everything rotated around the Earth. Now, there were some complicated observations that he had to explain by this theory, which he actually turned out to manage. And they did explain in a decent way, not a perfect way, how things moved mathematically. As an example, one of those things is retrograde motion. Now, I had to look this up. I knew that retrograde motion was a thing, but basically, retrograde motion is an observation of a planet, typically, where it will appear to be moving across the night sky over time in one direction, but then go backwards only to return on its path forward. It looks a little weird, but that type of motion needed to be explained, and it was pretty hard to do just by saying something moved around the Earth in a circle. So the way that Ptolemy explained this is that the Earth was at the center. There was like an orbit of a planet that went around the Earth, but as that planet went around the Earth in one circle, there was another circle that it was rotating around with some mysterious center and radius. It was fairly complicated, but by saying circles rotating around circles, he managed to explain how things moved. So he did it. Now, the problem, of course, is that it explained the motion, but it wasn't very mathematically reliable or accurate. When they tried to predict where things would be, where these planets would be, it didn't actually have enough predictive power. So in the 16th century, Nicholas Copernicus developed a very mathematically robust model of astronomy that placed the sun at the center, with the planets rotating around the sun, including the Earth. Now, this idea flipped the way of understanding reality completely on its head. And today we know this flip of understanding reality as the Copernican Revolution. Even though the earlier theory, which had prevailed for 1,500 years, by the way, even though it seemed correct, the new way of understanding was much better. It also managed to explain things that they couldn't explain before, such as why the seasons change around the Earth, where things get hotter and colder. Ptolemy's theory couldn't explain how that would work, but with Copernicus, he observed and postulated that the Earth was on a tilted axis instead of a straight one, and that explained the seasons. Now, what was cool about this is that his theory explained not only seasons and new things, but it also explained how retrograde motion was a result of a actually much simpler orbital motion, one that did not require circles revolving around circles, but just with the placement of the sun at the center, things could be explained a little bit better. Now, I'm not here to give you a lesson in astronomy or physics or math. I've gone here in the last few messages I've given, but anyway, it's interesting stuff. The reason that I bring this up is that it is a classic example of what we call a paradigm shift. Paradigm shift is that phenomena of explaining something in a completely different way that opens the door to vastly improved understanding. But seeing things differently, understanding things differently than the world, is pretty hard to do. It's swimming upstream, it is being very unpopular. It requires throwing away the explanations that prevail and founding your knowledge on something that is not widely accepted. Now, as Christians, I think we can all relate to some of those principles. We have beliefs that are not popular in the world. The foundation of our knowledge is not based on the things that the world makes its foundations on. Having a paradigm shift requires making claims of truth that people will think are ridiculous. In fact, that's probably why it took so long for Ptolemy's theory to be blown out of the water. If we just stand outside today and observe the sun, it sure looks like it's moving around the earth, but in fact, it's not. Now, a paradigm shift requires nothing less than completely shaking the foundation of knowledge. And brethren, that's what Christianity is about in the world today. In a place where evolution and atheism and moral corruption prevail, where man's ideas trump what is ever written in the Bible, to explain the reality from the foundation of the Bible seems crazy to the world. But we know better. And here's why. I want to open up by going to 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll be reading beginning in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And how do we have the mind of Christ? It is with the Holy Spirit that lives and works within us. It is literally that power of Jesus Christ emanating from him that lives within us to give us a deeper understanding, a way of knowing things that does not come from the world. It comes from the mind of Christ. We are able to think like God does. We are able to understand our reality, the things that happen in our lives on the smallest scale to the greatest scale, with the mind of God. When we try to explain why things are the way they are, it is the Holy Spirit that inspires us to understand things correctly. The world will not be able to explain why things are the way they are. Whether it's the problem of evil or evolution or why there's conflict in the world. We know why. It is because the Spirit of God living within us helps us to understand that he has a much bigger plan that he's working out. Let's go to an example in Luke chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. This is an example of Jesus Christ who had the Holy Spirit living in him without measure, unlimited in its capacity. Luke 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, Jesus was a human being just as you and I are. He had the Holy Spirit without measure, and it was working in his life as it works in yours. He had it without measure, of course, in much greater capacity, but it gave him the strength and the wisdom to do what he had to do and to understand the truth, to preach the truth, in fact. And that same Holy Spirit lives and works in us. And it's a good thing that Jesus Christ had the Holy Spirit working with him, because Satan's temptations to Jesus were very strong. They appealed to everything that Jesus Christ knew about what he was doing, that he was God's Son under his protection, that he was supposed to be the Savior of the world. And Satan was sitting there saying, prove it. From Scripture, he was saying, prove it. But the Holy Spirit led Jesus to apply those scriptures correctly because he had a perfect understanding. It guided him to the truth, and that same Spirit guides us to the truth. Our way of knowing and understanding is driven and has that foundation in the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans 8, and we'll read verses 9 through 15. Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, which dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that is you and I. Continuing. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, which is better translated as sonship, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It means that we have to be in tune with what God instructs in our lives. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit, base our decisions, our actions on the knowledge that we get from that source rather than the source of knowledge that comes from the world, especially where those things contradict. It doesn't make sense to make decisions that way to the world around us, but our reasons for taking action need to be based on that standard. That is when we are the sons of God. When we have an answer to the question of why we are doing things, and that is finding the foundation in the spiritual, as we read here, rather than the flesh, we are in good shape. We're following a perfect example. I'd like to read you one more scripture in Ephesians 3, which explains how Paul was led by the Spirit to his understanding. And this explains actually what we'll hear about in the sermon. It explains the mystery, how a mystery was revealed to him. Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. The Gentiles here are to be included in the body of Christ, and that is so much of what this day of Pentecost represents. That is the mystery that was revealed to Paul by the Spirit. It didn't make any sense without the Holy Spirit living within him and working within him, but he had the mind of Christ revealing that to him. This day of Pentecost stands out in significance in Christian history as the time when the Holy Spirit was made available to those who believe in Christ, repent, and become baptized. That Holy Spirit, both of God the Father and of Jesus Christ, lives and works in us. It provides us with the capacity to see things differently, to understand the world in a better way, a perfect way. By the Spirit, we are able to learn the truth and to live by it, so that we can draw near to God and please him.